Hello, everyone. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car, driving through West Lafayette, leaving Mac Arena following Purdue's 84-68 win over Illinois, number 13 Illinois, vaulting Purdue into a tie for first place in the Big Ten. This is your Golden Black Radio Express postgame podcast. It is brought to you by our friends at Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, and the Whitaker Inn, which I'll be driving past here in about 8 to 10 minutes right as I wrap up this podcast. I am going to warn you in advance. It is 2:46 in the morning. Be ready for anything, because the most likely outcome here is that this veers somewhere between actual basketball analysis and information and a Hunter S. Thompson novel. I'm going to try my best to be coherent, but I can make you no promises here. So to start off, with that out of the way, this was obviously an enormous win for Purdue. Earned in no uncertain way. Purdue dominated the second half, coming out with a real energy about them to start that second half. I thought that was a really positive sign for Purdue in terms of, you know, rising to the occasion in what was its biggest game of the season until its next biggest game of the season. I thought Illinois being up two at halftime was kind of cosmetic. I thought that Purdue really took control about halfway through the first half, and then Alfonso Plummer made a couple of ridiculous shots. Purdue had a ridiculous breakdown at the end of the half, letting Andre Curbelo go end-to-end for a layup. That was just unforgivable, if you ask me, and that's what allowed Illinois to hold a slim halftime lead. But the circumstances of that, I thought, didn't seem sustainable. I thought all along Purdue was going to win this game once they had gone on that run, that 19-3 run in the first half. And, you know, sure enough, Eric Hunter really got Purdue off to a great start to start the second half. Credit to him. You need your seniors to play really well in situations like this. And that's exactly what he did in that situation. And then you also need your stars to play really well in situations like this. And Jaden Ivey was not just the Big Ten player of the year tonight. He might have been the national player of the year tonight. I don't think that's overstatement. I think this was, you know, another absolutely unbelievable, just kind of throwing words around right now. Unbelievable is probably a little bit of a overstatement, but just a real, you know, kind of star turn again for Jaden Ivey when he keeps doing this. He keeps having these games where you sort of wonder, you know, how much better can he keep getting? You know, the answer is a lot. I've said for weeks now that I think this guy is just kind of scratching the surface of what he can be. People kind of nitpick his game a little bit because you expect big things from your most talented players, obviously, but he is getting better and better and better and better and better with every game. And I think you could look back at this winning streak, this six-game winning streak here, and I think I just stopped at a green light. That's embarrassing. Oh, good, there's a cop. I think you can look back this six-game winning streak, and you can look, you can see improvement from game to game to game to game to game to game. I don't know if that was six games I just mentioned there or not, but I think he's come a long way with his decision making. He's come a long way with his poise, his patience. Purdue is basically just, you know, kind of boiling down their offense to kind of just give him the ball and let him cook. They're just running a bunch of ball screens for him now. I mean, basically your most basic level of offense in modern basketball. Just give the guy a ball screen, let him play. This is a program too. This is a coach who has a pretty robust playbook and has really become kind of a really offensive-minded, detail-oriented sort of coach. And this is just kind of a pragmatic move on Painter's part. Just give the ball to Ivy and let him play. I mean, it is the simplest form of basketball, but right now it's been effective as hell. And, you know, I know people coming into the season said, oh, just run the offense through Ivy every time down. Well, I don't think at the start of the year you could really necessarily trust him to, you know, to play at a proper pace, play at a proper speed, make all the right decisions, not, you know, try to do too much too often. I think he's really kind of grown into this. And just the absolute pressure this takes off of Purdue in terms of having to be so precise with your offensive execution against really good defensive teams. It's just a game changer. And I should add that prior to this trend for Purdue, they did happen to be the number one team offensively in efficiency in college basketball. So it's not like Purdue was struggling in any sort of regard before they started just giving Jaden Ivey the ball and a ball screen and letting him play. They were a great offensive team before. I think this is taking them to a whole other level at this point. And as Jaden Ivey gets better and better and better and better, Purdue is getting better and better and better and better. And, I've thought all along, even when Purdue has struggled this year, this team still had a lot of upside. This is the best team in the Big Ten. This was the team all along best positioned to go on a winning streak that really turned the Big Ten race on its side. And, hey, Purdue's now won six in a row here and or whatever it is. And I think they're in a pretty good spot here to win at least the share of the Big Ten title. I've always said that to have a team like Purdue has this year, if you don't get a share of the big, at least a share of the Big Ten title, that would be a real shame. That would be a real opportunity missed. And I think right now you have to look at Purdue as the favorite. I think it's probably going to be a split title in some form. But if you had to bet on somebody to win the league outright right now, I think you'd be crazy not to bet on Purdue because they're getting hot at the right time. They've got a couple of really tough road games to finish out the season. Looking ahead at those games would be, something we can do, but Purdue had better not do because, all the pressure's on them now to keep this going. The game at Michigan Thursday night's a huge one, and then everyone thereafter is a huge one. But then when you get to those road games at Wisconsin and Michigan State, I think reality's setting in a little bit for Michigan State. I think Wisconsin is good, but very beatable. I will tell you this, when Purdue plays with Colson and Johnny Davis, they get 37. And Purdue's going to be a much better team than the one Wisconsin saw at the start of the resumption of Big Ten play. I think Purdue's just in a great spot right now, and they're getting better. I think that, people fixate on Purdue's defensive metrics as their fatal flaw, the thing that will be their undoing. And I'm not going to say that, Purdue's a great defensive team, but you look at the difference between these halves, the first half and the second half, and one of the clear delineations between the two is the fact that in the first half, Purdue turned the ball over. Illinois got a bunch of points off Purdue turnovers. In the second half, Purdue stopped turning the ball over. And look what happened. That is the single biggest thing for Purdue defensively that can be controlled, is you stop turning the ball over, because turning the ball over and leading to opposing scoring for the opponent is what got you beat by Wisconsin in the first place. It's what got you beat at Indiana. Those things happened in the first half. But it all trickled down to the very end of the game. And I think that's the thing that Purdue can control that can make them, a better defensive team. And I think that was crystal clear tonight. So if you're sitting here thinking that, Purdue can only go so far because of defense, I might agree with you, but only to a point. I think, in a lot of cases, their best defense is a good, solid, responsible offense. And I think that's probably the qualifier to all of those defensive metrics that people like to point to and say that no one's ever won a national championship with a defensive metric this low. And, fine. But I think Purdue's put itself in a great spot, not only, for the balance of the Big Ten season here, but, for the Big Ten tournament, even for a number one seed to the NCAA tournament. And I think Purdue is getting better and still has a long way to go in terms of being as good as it can be. So that's what I got from Purdue's 84-68 win over Illinois, who's really good, by the way. That's the other point I want to make. Illinois is a really good team. These were the two best teams in the Big Ten. Illinois has a bunch of 23 and 24-year-olds running around out there. They're tough. They're competitive. They're tenacious. They can shoot threes. And, to sweep them in the regular season is no small feat for this team. So, great resume win, great Big Ten Conference race win, and just a great win all around for Purdue. So I just passed the Whitaker in on my left. So that's like the music at the Academy Awards telling me to get the hell off the stage. So I hope this all made sense. I can make no promises, and I'd like to thank that officer back there for not pulling me over for, I think I was stopped at a green light, but I'm not even sure. And I'm sure he saw me talking into my cell phone at 2:45 in the morning. I'm sure that was a great look. Thank you to Foster Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, and the Whitaker Inn, which I just drove past, for your support of these silly little podcasts. And I will talk to you guys again on Thursday, right around the same time, thankfully. I love these 9 p.m. games. What I love more than 9 p.m. games is two 9 p.m. games in the span of 3 days. Thank you, TV. I'll talk to you Thursday night from Ann Arbor, Michigan, after Purdue plays its much-anticipated game at Michigan that was supposed to take place a month ago before the old COVID-19er had other plans. So, thanks, everybody.